Yo, what's good, y'all? Welcome to the John Katz Show, episode number 40. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope everybody's having a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful, loving, kind mothers out there and everybody who does so much to raise. There's a lot of talk lately in the news about raising kids. So there you go. Mother's Day is a good reminder of a lot of that stuff. I'm going to just get into some current events, speaking of that, and a lot of other stuff. It's been a lot going on. It's been a long time. So happy to be back doing this. And there's a lot going on in the news right now, so there's plenty to discuss. Hope everybody's doing great. And I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on stuff. So, you know, hit me up. I'm on Twitter. I have accounts on social, but I don't use Facebook and IG and all that. So hit me up on Twitter, John Katz Show. Speaking of Twitter, there's something I wanted to get into a little bit. I'm sure a lot of people saw, been a lot of talk the last few weeks about Elon Musk buying the platform. And, you know, the purchase doesn't go through till I think November or something like that. But, you know, it's a really big deal. I've said for a long time that Elon Musk is one of the only people in the world that could create another type Twitter, you know, that A, has the resources and wherewithal and know-how to even do something like that. And then, I mean, what did he end up paying for that? You know, there's maybe a handful of people in the world that could even afford it. And then to have, you know, the intellect and the ingenuity in that particular field and to have, you know, the ability to put together probably the best team, you know, the whole idea, and people are freaking out. There's this whole phenomenon going on right now, and it applies to Elon Musk. It applies to Joe Rogan. It applies to Bill Maher even, which is a lot of people, you know, they're talking about Elon like he's Hitler or something. This is a liberal, a classically, you know, I saw them describing, first of all, they put these panels together on TV. I don't watch any of that. I see clips. I stopped watching. I haven't watched any news. I haven't watched a news channel or like a press conference or a presidential address or something in God knows how long, a good 6-8 months or something. I mean, I'll watch clips online and even that's so depressing, but somebody posted a clip. They put this panel together and there's, you know, they're going, Elon's being courted by Joe Rogan and the far right and all this stuff. And I'm like, none of these people, not only aren't they far right, they're not even right. Everything became this dichotomy of left, right. It's so bizarre. If you're into free speech and the ability for people to have open, honest discourse, or even dishonest, if you're into the American ideal of people being able to discuss things in an open forum without being censored, then you're somehow some right-wing radical now. Whereas anything other than that on any side of the aisle or anything else would have been considered insane not so long ago. And I think you really are seeing a small faction on the left hold the rest of these people hostage right now, because I still believe in my heart of hearts that most Americans are not down with that bullshit. They're just not. But they are afraid of the few who were really fanatical about it all, and nobody wants to step out of line or be called out. And, you know, the Biden admin created this whole new disinformation board. The disinformation board. They're comparing it to the Ministry of Truth from the book 1984. But they've had these Ministry of Truth disinformation board type things in like every dictatorship throughout history. You know, this is the kind of shit that Hitler and Stalin were doing. This is the kind of shit they're doing right now in North Korea and China and Russia, where they don't have free speech, where they don't have free media, where you can't discuss things, where if you do, someone might knock on your door, where you can't say certain things about the administration. Look, people are wrong all the time. That's like the basis of learning is to not be afraid to ask questions. My goodness, it's like you're dumbing everybody down and creating this groupthink environment where it really is the basis of intelligence and the basis of learning and the basis of gaining knowledge and growing and evolving is not being afraid to be wrong and ask questions. And whether we're talking about a virus, whether we're talking about foreign policy or whatever, the idea that you would put some board in place to say, these people are not allowed to ponder these things, that's disinformation, and it's not allowed. And that's crazy, and it's the most anti-American thing ever. And we really, really, people should be pushing back against this stuff so hard. It really is at the very core of who we are as a country. And the woman who they assigned to this head of disinformation, the disinformation czar or whatever they're calling her, she's a lunatic. She's like, they show these TikTok videos of her singing these Mary Poppins songs about Trump and Giuliani and all these things and ranting about, look, she's on there talking about how she says, look, it seems like conservatives are worried they're going to be targeted. She goes, but my research shows that it's actually, you know, liberals and minorities who are being suppressed on social media. Come on, that's disinformation. Listen, I'm on all these, nobody on the left, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, no liberal talking, no, none of that stuff suppressed. It's amplified. I mean, I'm someone who disagrees with most of that stuff, and even still, it's amplified to me on my pages and stuff. And like, my accounts are not seen by anyone who disagrees with me. So conversely, me and most of the people I follow are actually being buried by these algorithms. And it's like the idea that they think, or that they would even have the balls to pretend to think and to say something so foolish. No one thinks the left's being, and to say minorities are being suppressed, come on, it's so amplified. It's like, and listen, I say none of this. I love everybody. That's the biggest, stupidest cliche I do. I love everybody. I get along with everybody. I want everybody to get along. Anything I say is purely objective, which is, if you think minorities are being suppressed, like if some alien species knew nothing about our society and they just saw our media or social media and what have you, or television or commercial, like they would think that our country was 80-90% not white people and 60-70% gay. And again, I'm judging nobody. I'm just saying, if they think certain groups are being suppressed rather than amplified, that's insane. I mean, here's what drives me nuts. And again, somebody's good, they're good. I don't care what anybody is or does with their life. In fact, it bothers me when people don't. So if something makes somebody happy, go crazy with it. But the idea that we have to label everybody and put everybody into these boxes and then amplify certain things, it's just bizarre, and it's also anti-American. And they just replaced Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary. She's moving on to some greener pastures. And they replaced her with this one. And by the way, they just did the same thing with, they did it with Kamala Harris. They did it with the Supreme Court. They come up with these prerequisites before they even appoint people. And find, they come up, they go, it's going to be a woman. She's got to be a person of color. It's like, that's racist. It's racist. I'm not even saying it's racist to white people. I'm saying it's racist to that person. It's demeaning. It's condescending. Like, and it's just weird. Why are we if we were a truly non-racist society, and I feel like we were really kind of heading there before we started this whole new classification system, like, really, why are we labeling everybody and putting everybody into these? There's nothing more racist than categorizing and defining everybody by their gender and the color of their skin, and then putting them into these groups and then treating them differently based on that information. Like, that's the definition of racism. It's also weird. And they announce her and they're like, she's the first female black LGBTQA, I think they added another letter, woman to ever hold this position. Like, first of all, fine. It actually is an accomplishment if someone is the first black person to do something. Okay, announce that. That's great. We care who she has sex with. It's like, what you're saying is, here's the first black woman press secretary, and by the way, she likes to have sex with women. So cheer that on. It's like, it's great. You know, I'm all for lesbianism. But why are we announcing it as part of her, you know, qualifications? And then they go, oh, and by the way, she's qualified. Because, like, they list her real qualifications after that. It's all just so bizarre. But so, yeah, they got this crazy lady now. Not her, not the press secretary. I'm talking about the information czar again. They got the new info czar. So going forward, who knows? And here's the thing. We're leaving it in her and her employees' hands to decide what's accurate and what's allowed. And then what's the penalty for when they deem it's not? And how many things turn out to be true? And if no one ever questions the official line, you know, how will any, because listen, there really are nefarious things going on, and there really are people with bad intentions. And by the way, forgetting even that, let's say everybody was well-intentioned. People make mistakes all the time. But for you to question now the official line, they're going to go, well, that's disinformation. And you go, no, I'm actually the one seeking more information. It's the same shit they do with everything. It's the, we know better than you do. Let us just pat you on the head. You just sit there. Let us figure it. Meanwhile, they don't know shit. Half of them don't know shit, and half of them are trying to fool you. I mean, government employees, come on. You know, it is our government. It's like the idea in this country that you would create something like that in modern times, beyond insane. Like, this guy, listen, I haven't gotten into politics a ton, and I'm not going to, but this dude's the worst fucking president I've ever seen. He's just the worst. He's the absolute fucking worst. If I had turned off the TV at any time or media during any other presidency in my four decades on earth, I wouldn't have known who the president was. That's just the God's honest truth. I wouldn't have known the behind the scenes stuff going on. My life would kind of go on as normal. Taxes fluctuate a little here and there. Inflation jumps a little here and there. We have some problems. You can't go anywhere without being affected by this guy's buffoon. Whether you're paying twice as much for gas, whether you're paying twice as much for groceries, whether your taxes have gone up, whether your insurance has gone up, whether your health care has gone down, your 401k is going down. If they tout employment, and that's not even mentioning all the foreign policy blunders and the crisis still going. We still have a historic southern border immigration crisis going on right now. Nobody mentions that. Inflation's skyrocketing. They cling to this employment thing. But what they do that's so messed up is, and people talk about this all the time, it's actually become kind of a coined phrase people use on social media a lot, which is, it's always, you know, the current thing. You know what I mean? They call it the current thing. So, like, right now it's this abortion thing. And I was going to get into that a little too with the Roe v. Wade, but it's like, everyone's talking about abortion now, and it's no coincidence the midterms are coming up. So, yeah, they want to rally the troops behind something. Don't look over here. Don't look at these 20 crises, 90% of which have been created by this new buffoon. And instead, just focus on this abortion debate. And they'll do that with anything. And they try it with other stuff before that, and then it doesn't stick. So then they'll move on to the next thing. They came out with a story the other day how Trump was going to bomb the Mexican cartels down in Mexico. And they were hoping it was going to be this bombshell because Mark Esper wrote it in his new book. And it's like, people went, why don't we bomb the cartel drug labs in Mexico? We're happy to drop bombs in fucking Syria and Libya and these places that people couldn't find on a map. But like, our southern border has the most violent gangs in the world, and they're just shipping all this opium and fentanyl and everything into the country, and like, we're not allowed to bomb. And like, what's Mexico gonna do? Like, what's the reasoning they give? It's a sovereign nation. It's like, well, if any other country was killing, their activity kills millions of Americans, hundreds of thousands of Americans a year. And we go, oh, but why? You know what I mean? Why don't the powers, why don't those alphabet people, as somebody called them, I don't want to get in trouble on here. Why don't the alphabet people want us going down and blowing up these drug labs down in Mexico? I don't know. But anyway, I'm looking forward to a freer Twitter. I think it's a good thing. I think people should stop freaking out. I think people should stop labeling everybody as a right-wing radical when they're not even right-wing, and they're certainly not radical. And half these people are talking about are liberal Democrats who voted for Joe and voted for Obama, and they just think people should be allowed to have some free. People think the First Amendment is a little important, and it makes you a radical now. The First and Second Amendments, the two most important amendments. If you support them now, you're a right-wing radical rather than just a regular old American. Let me actually touch on the abort. I want to talk about this Johnny Amber trial, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, which, you know, I'm a girl. I know. I like that kind of shit. I like analyzing people and all that. I like courtroom stuff, so what's not to like? I'm going to get into that. I did want to touch on this Roe v. Wade thing because it kind of goes along with all the stuff I'm saying, which is, and I'm sure people are familiar, just brief overview, you know, somebody from the Supreme Court leaked that they are overturning the 50-year-old 1973, the Roe v. Wade ruling from the Supreme Court that barred states from being able to outlaw abortions like 50 years ago. So people are freaking out, as you would expect. And listen, I'm not going to rehash. Everybody knows where people stand on abortion and how they feel about it. And I'm not going to rehash the same debate everybody's having. You know what I mean? However, I would say this. If you're going to have a debate, it has to be an intellectually honest debate. And you can't start from a place where you're gaslighting and accusing the other side of something that you know is not their intent. And if some people do believe that's their intent, okay, fine. But most people, and what I mean by that is, so if somebody's pro-life and they don't believe abortions should be legal, or they believe that there's only some very extreme circumstances where they should be legal. You know, a lot of people who were kind of ambiguous with this stuff, you know, they say, well, I'll allow the rape and incest, or the, you know, the medical, if the mother's going to die during giving birth and those types of things. They go, I'll allow that. But other than that, it should. So a lot of people in between, not everybody's black and white. Some people think you should have an abortion up to full term. Some people think there's absolutely no circumstance where it should be allowed. And then there's a lot in between. However, I don't know anybody, nor have I met anybody. And I know a lot of pro-life people. I've met a lot of pro-life people, known them my whole life. I interact with thousands of people online to this day. And I don't know anyone who's pro-life because they want to control a woman's body. And you can't start from a place where your whole argument is, my body, my choice, stop telling me what to do with my body. Nobody cares about the woman's body in the case of at all. Like, literally, I don't know anybody sitting there thinking I care. And I'm an extreme example of that as somebody who's, you know, openly libertarian about it. Like, again, not to get into, I think prostitution should be legal. I think all kinds of vices should be legal and everything else. People should listen. Go crazy. Go crazy in your personal life. You know what I mean? Do as much freaky, nasty, weird, crazy shit as you want it. As long as A, you're not harming anybody. You're not messing with kids, whatever. Adults I'm talking about. So like, I'm such a, but they're starting from such a dishonest place and they're saying, you want to control my body. And we're going, no, we don't. We just want to protect the other body that's growing inside you, the life form. It is a life form. Can we just agree on hard science? You know, there's a baby growing in there. Like, can we stop pretending? It's like, let's start at a place where we all agree. You know, a lot of people love all these theoretical science. They're like, yeah, you know, you could choose your genders and global warming is going to kill us all in 10 years. And but when it comes to just hard, basic science, like, that's a fucking life form. Can we stop? And so let's just start from an honest place. If people said, hey, look, if people who are pro-choice came in and said, hey, look, abortions suck, man. We hate that it's a thing. You know, we wish it was a last resort. In every case, it's a super dark thing to do. And the numbers gotten out of hand. You know, we're doing millions of these a year now. The numbers really gotten out of hand. Like, we never intended for it to be this way. We always wanted it to be like this really last resort, dire medical procedure that you can't just get willy-nilly, you know? And we understand that a life form's being terminated and all that. It would be like, people would then be willing to kind of have an open, honest debate on all sides about it. But they're throwing parades and they're calling you, anyone who's against it, chauvinistic and white male privileged this. And it's like, first of all, most abortions, it's dudes who were paying for these things, right? And who are, in many cases, strongly persuading, if not bullying these women into getting them, who may otherwise not. So, you know, that's a form of control and misogyny or whatever you want to call it there, I would say. But like, I think any reasonable person who's just being objective and who's just being intellectually honest would look at it and they would start from a point where they say, okay, we're ending a life form. It's a very serious situation. This is not something we're going to go parade around in the streets about. And we understand you guys are concerned because we're ending lives. We're ending a baby's life before it comes out of the womb. There's no way to sugarcoat that and make it something different. And so without getting into the whole traditional debate of should any be allowed, people need to start from a much more honest place. But the truth is there's an abortion epidemic happening and there's thousands of these going on a day and it has become a form of birth control and everybody's aim, no matter how you feel, should be to get that number down, right? Not to be trying to make the number higher, right? Why are we trying to make that number higher? Shouldn't we be trying to get it down? I was talking to a woman on Twitter the other day, nice lady, followed each other for a while. I don't know what her views are necessarily. And by the way, this is something I've heard. What I heard from her, I've heard from a lot of people over the years, which is, she says, yeah, but I posted something about this Roe v. Wade. And she says, yeah, but the foster system is so broken, like they're better off. I'm paraphrasing. But essentially people think if you were to give this kid up for adoption or foster care, their life would be so shitty that you're better off just killing them. And that's such a sad commentary. And if anything, then people should be working toward bettering the foster care and the adoption systems. You know what I mean? This is a discussion I've had before, which is the people who would be great at doing that rarely want to do it. It's like politics. The people who would be great in public service, they don't want those jobs. You know, most stable, happy, healthy families are just kind of going along with their lives, and they're not going to stop and interrupt that and say, let me adopt an underprivileged child whose mother couldn't. So, but I think that could change. Like, why does it have to be in other words, why do we give attention to certain causes and not others? Imagine if either side of the abortion, the pro-choice or the pro-life, wanted to give the same kind of attention to bettering the adoption and foster care systems. Like, if people did know, you know, this kid's going to have their pick of amazing family lives, and there's just all these amazing families who are willing to take these kids in, like, that would change the whole landscape. Again, the whole objective should be to get the number of abortions down, ideally to nothing. Like, why is it a good thing? Why is it a good thing? And why are people starting from a place where they think it's a good thing? And stop accusing people of wanting to control your bodies, because nobody cares and nobody wants to control anybody's body. And if there are a few weird people out there who are really into that chauvinistic aspect of women shouldn't be allowed to do X, Y, then those guys are fucking assholes, but they're outliers. And 99% of the people who are pro-life, for lack of a better term, I don't even like these terms, pro-life and pro-choice. Isn't everyone pro-life? Someone said the other day, our talking about these babies, our number one human right, our number one civil right is to not be fucking murdered. You know what I mean? Like, in any case, everyone should be looking to get those numbers way down. And whether it's an abortion debate or anything else, people should just be having intellectually honest discourse. That's like the key to making progress with anything. All right, I got to get into the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. This is going to be a long ep. I didn't mean to talk that long, but I feel like I have more to say about this trial than anything. All right. I know a lot of people think this kind of thing is girly. It's like tabloid, whatever, sensationalist, celebrity lives type stuff. But it's fascinating. Johnny Depp, first of all, he's like, you know, he's Johnny fucking Depp. He's one of the biggest stars of, I mean, shit, he was doing 21 Jump Street back in, you know, mid late 80s. I mean, I was just a little kid. He was on the cover of like every heartthrob magazine. You know, that was 35 years ago. You know what I mean? To see this type of personal stuff on display, this type of insight into these people's lives and what twisted lives they have, and just the whole thing. You know, there's so much stuff in there too that's just from like an anthropological standpoint of just studying these people. I love hearing about it all, like all the stuff when they're making movies and how this part came to be and this thing and that thing and all the behind the scenes stuff. I find all that super interesting. From them meeting to every insane fight they ever had, I find all that interesting. There's a lot of entertaining stuff going on about the trial. Let me just say this. I'm Team Johnny, okay? Everyone's Team Johnny, whatever. I'm going to be objective here about a lot of things, but yeah, look. I mean, first of all, if you go online, you cannot find a positive comment about Amber, about Miss Heard. Nobody likes Miss Heard. No one likes Amber Heard. She's getting just raked across the coals. And people love Johnny. He comes off like he's got a good heart under there and he's a tortured soul. You know what I mean? And she comes off like she's just not a very nice person and had bad intentions. You know, I've always said, look, intentions go a long way with me. If somebody's well-intentioned and they fuck up, well, obviously that's better than somebody who's ill-intentioned and has like ulterior motives and stuff. And she comes off as that. She also comes off as, you know, possibly like sociopathic. And I hate to say that. And I call a lot of people sociopaths. And I say a lot of it in jest or to be funny or hyperbolic. But listen, like 1 out of 100 people is a real one. So they exist. And I think she might be. And, you know, one of the, you know, the most prevalent traits of being a sociopath is you cannot feel real emotions and empathy and those types of things. So you have to fake it and try to emulate what you believe human emotion would be. And she's just so, I mean, anybody watching this, like somebody pointed out to me, and it's so true, that if you're watching someone, even a bad person, even a criminal, even a killer, if they're having like an authentic moment of contrition, you know, where they're really being honestly sad from a real place about some traumatic thing that happened to them or what have you, you're going to just naturally feel some empathy and sadness yourself. You know what I mean? Let's say some dude went out and killed a bunch of people in the street, right? Some gangster, right? But then he's telling this story about how, you know, his dad used to torture and beat him and killed his dog and all these sad, whatever it is. And he's crying. You'd feel bad for him, even though he's a killer, because we're all human, right? But when you watch Amber Heard, you don't feel that. You feel awkward and uncomfortable, and it makes you cringe a little, because it just, you could tell it's not real. And you know, at first listening to it, and listen, I don't rule out that he may have put his hands on her at some point. Like, when you have these crazy volatile relationships like that, and look, you know, she's obviously provoking him, and she's recording him on purpose, which is a huge thing in my eyes. So all these recordings and things, she knows, you know, what she's saying, and he doesn't know he's being recorded, and there's still no evidence on those of him hitting her. These text messages and stuff, listen, as a guy, something I always say, I've never called a woman, you know, other than maybe in traffic or something, like someone I don't know, I've never called a woman a B, or definitely not C, and you know, whore and all the, I mean, he goes crazy with that. So just in a vacuum, if you told me, hey, this guy who's so verbally abusive in these texts, I mean, it's really insane stuff, some of that, and this guy who's ripping apart rooms and breaking things and everything else, you tell me that, and this guy who does whiskey and coke like a motherfucker, you tell me that he slapped a woman one time, I'm going to go, yeah, of course he did. However, so I was like, all right, look, I'm like, she's obviously a lunatic. She's fully provoking him all the time. She's purposely trying to get him riled up. She gets off on all this, obviously, in some kind of weird way. And she's throwing stuff at his head. She's, you know, instigating these physical type altercations. And I go, yeah, he probably at some point, you know, gave her a little smack or something. And I believe, listen, I'm not condoning it at all if that's what happened. But then the more I watched her, I go, she could just be making it all up. Like, because at first I'm like, listen, you're just going to hear her version. You know what I mean? And see, here's the thing. If in fact he ever did lay a finger on her, see, she's trying to do this whole doe-eyed innocent act that nobody's buying, and they already hated her before she even took the stand. So I was like, she should just own it. She would make herself way more credible, way more believable. Imagine if she got up there and she was like, listen, I'm crazy. I'm psycho sometimes. I do drugs. I had issues. I've had issues my whole life. I come from a chaotic home, whatever. I'm a handful. I'm a nightmare sometimes. We have crazy arguments. But it didn't give him the right to slap me in the face. If she said that, because here's the thing, people forget what the case is about. It's like, it's about this one letter editorial that she published. And I don't think necessarily he's even going to be able to prove his case either way from a legal standpoint. But no one's even talking about that in court and or in public opinion, the public forum. No one's talking about that letter or the legal standard at all. And I'm sure they will bring all that up in the closing arguments, most of all, where they always do, you know, by the letter of the law, you have to find this X, Y, and Z in order to find X, Y, and Z. But, and also, I don't think Johnny is even coming in there trying to, you know, his motivation for doing this doesn't seem to be coming from a place necessarily of just, I got to win this case from a legal standpoint. He definitely doesn't need her money. And if she loses, she doesn't have the money to pay him anyway. He's getting off on this in a way too. He's, for me, like, I feel like, you know, he wouldn't be doing this. He's treating it like it's Oprah or like it's therapy or something. You know what I mean? But the point I was going to get to, I'll come back to that, is that if Amber were to play it like that and just be brutally honest about herself and genuinely, and don't fake cry. Don't cry at all. Just be like, I'm a hard ass chick and he didn't even hurt me, but he did slap me. So therefore I had a right to write that letter. Boom, done. Don't get up there with the crocodile tears, telling all these fake stories, pretending to cry and sob. Like, what are you doing? They're both playing out this weird, traumatic, like, see, that's the thing. People create these fucking mental prisons for themselves. Look at Johnny Depp. Look at this relationship dynamic. Look at what they were dealing with every day. You go, wow, this guy's got hundreds of millions of dollars. He's a huge star. He's got his own island in the Bahamas. He's got a chateau in France. Like, he doesn't have to work again if he doesn't. Like, he could just fuck off to the Bahamas, sleep with as many beautiful women as he wants, eat the best food, you know, get the best. If he wants to be, he could have the best trainers and masseuses. Like, he'd have the best life. And people just look at that and go, I'd love to be Johnny Depp. But then his real life is he's boxed inside this penthouse apartment with this crazy chick. And they're throwing fucking glasses around and chopping fingers off and writing on the walls in blood and having just the worst shouting matches ever. It's just this mental prison. At any point, either of them, especially him with his, he could have just gone, get out of here, I'm done with you. And he could have just fucked off to the Bahamas and never spoke to this girl again. He obviously, listen, you heard him talk about his mother and everything else. Some people that suffer certain things, people go two ways. Sometimes they do the opposite. They go far away. And then a lot of times, you know, they're subconsciously recreating that stuff. The two of them, obviously, on some level, got off on this kind of energy. But again, his seems to come from a place of addiction and being a tortured, kind person on some level. And both sides of him seem authentic. So the kind Johnny, the kind, charming, empathetic Johnny, because look how generous he was with her friends, for example. He was putting them all up in penthouses. He was paying for everybody's everything. So you go, well, it's a good guy. It sounds like a good guy. But he obviously has demons. He obviously has issues. He's obviously an addict. But then you look at her and you feel like she knew what it was and she was provoking it on purpose. But look, those are demons too. You know what I mean? But she might actually be, like, if she's a legit sociopath, that's, from my understanding, not something people can necessarily heal from. I think they can do better jobs of being good people through certain types of, listen, I'm no therapist. I don't know, but I'm just armchair. I'm gonna generalize and analyze everybody. I have no idea what the hell. Let me just make a disclaimer that I have no clue what I'm talking about with these mental diagnoses, these psychiatric diagnoses. I'm just completely talking out of my ass. I have no idea. But she seems to not even be able to help it. You know what I mean? A, her emotions are the fakest things I've ever seen in my life. And then B, look at her. I talked about it here a while ago. I said, people don't understand. Literally, I think last episode, I might have said, people don't understand how important their faces are and their facial expressions and how off-putting that is in some cases or how positive it could be. But who's styling her and who's making her look like just this hard, harsh, you know, stern, buttoned up? Like, if you said, like, central casting, like, give me somebody that looks like she would slap a dude or who's you know, crazy and harsh and mean, like, that's who it would be with these tight bun and everything's buttoned up. Why is she buttoning everything up to her throat? Why does her makeup look so harsh? She looks like, I said the other day, she looks like she'd be that type that would be like cinching her daughter's clothes too tight from behind, like a corset, or like pulling her hair too tight into like braids. I feel like that's a common scene in movies, right? Like the mother, the mean mother sitting behind the daughter, like cinching her clothes up too hard or like cinching her hair up too hard. That's her. She's like, mommy dearest. I mean, I thought it couldn't get worse for her before she took the stand, because again, from a public opinion, not from a legal standpoint necessarily, from a public opinion standpoint, before she took the stand, I thought she can only help herself. And then within the first 10 minutes of watching her, I was like, okay, she seems human. Like, I finally get to see her make some faces and talk about her childhood. Once she got into like trying to be emotional and telling the actual stories of abuse, it's tough, man. It's tough. Like the one story with the tattoo where she supposedly laughed at his tattoo and he slapped her a bunch of times. At first, I was having an issue with the fact that Johnny was just sitting there listening to this stuff and not even reacting. I'm like, he should at least be making some sort of face of like, you know, this chick's crazy. Something to, if you're just listening and not watching, I just made some kind of, you know, what the fuck is she talking about face, but very subtle. When somebody pointed out to me, like, look, he's heard these stories a million times. So if he were to sit there and act surprised, it would look like he was acting, because he shouldn't be surprised. And I don't know if surprise is the right look, but some sort of, but the last day or so when she was telling these stories, he was finally reacting a little like that. And he just, you know, look at his lawyer. What the fuck is she talking about? And I think he's reacting to her emotions too. Because I feel like he's holding back laughter a lot. Like, if you're sitting across from her and she's acting like that, I mean, it's got to be hard to not just... See, that's what I said I would do. But everyone's different. You know, how... That's for sure the truth. And that's something people should understand. And that's a discussion I've had a lot of recently, which is everyone does react to things differently, traumatic events and all that stuff. So there really shouldn't be a cookie cutter reaction. I guess I'm always looking for authentic reaction, which authentic can come in many forms for different people. I feel like with me, if I was sitting 10 feet across from a woman who was telling a story about this time that I hit her and it never happened, I would have a hard time not laughing at her in a very just dismiss, because like, if someone's that ridiculous, if someone's literally telling a story of something that you didn't do and it's of a horrible thing, you would be going, what the f-? Like, I'd have a hard time not even saying something in court. I go, what the fuck are you talking about? That's what I would do. I go, what the fuck are you talking about? That never happened. And then they throw me out of the courtroom. But like, I don't know. Somebody pointed out he's probably coming in there with like a dismissive attitude of, I'm not even going to look at her. I'm not even going to give her a slight anything. And that kind of appeased me a little. Like, okay, I could see that. Because there is kind of a tactic where you just completely freeze somebody out. You know, like somebody's so abusive and toxic or whatever that you're just like, you know what? I'm not even going to look at them. I'm not going to react. I'm going to let them just show the world how crazy they are all on their own. And I'm just going to sit back and let it happen. So I could see that. That's for sure possible. But so yeah, again, I don't know how strong his legal case is. Johnny for sure already won in the court of public opinion. And I'll be shocked if he doesn't get some role revivals after this. I said he'd be in a Quentin Tarantino movie after this. Like, Quentin revives him. There's going to be plenty of people out there going, hey, let's give this guy a shot. Now, if for no other reason that they're looking to just cash in on the fact that everybody's talking about him every day. And a lot of people would probably just go see his new movie out of curiosity because of this case. But yeah, I definitely don't think there's any possible way that her version of Johnny's this abusive dude, like this traditional wife beater type dude, and the way she tells these stories, I don't believe it for a second. Do I believe that in these crazy rages of where they're tearing up hotel rooms and she's going nuts and trying to provoke him and everything else that he might have put a hand on her before? Yeah, man. You know, to rule that out would be insane. But at the same time, she would record him and try to provoke him on purpose, and he'd never do it while she was recording him. And then he did never reference any type of stuff specifically in their text. You'd think there would be some text or something. Someone pointed out to me saying, you know, so sorry XYZ happened and that type of thing. But I don't think he, like I said before, he cares way less about winning this case than he does kind of about airing it all out there and winning, not just winning in the court of public opinion, but it's almost like whatever energy made him stay in that relationship as long as he did is the same energy, in my opinion, that made him want to sue her and subpoena her and get her in her room and make her have to talk about it. And I'd love to see a healed version of Johnny where he's not battling those type demons, because I really do think there's a good dude and he's a great actor. And I love a lot of his movies. So I'm pulling for the dude. Anyway, that's enough. Johnny Amber, I think that starts back up Monday. So I'll be checking that out. I'll report back in the next episode. And that's it. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And I will see you guys in a couple of days. Thank you so much. Be good. Peace.